1 year to the day of Saddam Hussein's arrest, and some months before the anticipated start of his trial, we looked up the following dates. May 8, 1945, VE, Victory in Europe Day, Nazi Germany is defeated. 6 months later, November 20th, 1945, top Nazi party leaders go on trial at Nuremberg. And a year after that, October 1st, 1946, verdicts and sentences in those trials are announced. We asked Ruth Wedgwood, professor of international law and diplomacy at the Johns Hopkins School of Advanced International Studies, to address this question. How is it that the tribunals that draw on the legacy of Nuremberg, whether involving Iraq or Yugoslavia or Rwanda, operate on such a phenomenally slower timetable?
Well, there are different reasons. The Yugoslav Tribunal and the Rwanda Tribunal that were set up by the Security Council in 1993 and 1994 were really done on a modern account of due process, with cross-examination, defendants representing themselves, problems of language and translation, but the idea that you would have a granular trial, incident by incident, blow by blow, which was not what really was done at Nuremberg. Mm-hmm. In Nuremberg, the Nazi leadership, first of all, took such meticulous records and was in many ways so flagrant about what they were doing that it was much easier to convict them on the project that they had announced so shamelessly to the world. But at the same time, in 1945, I think the sense of what a war crimes trial should be was quite different. It was supposed to be a didactic, good-natured show trial with process to show it was fair, but not the kind of O.J.-style, he said, she said.
Rights of the defendant, yeah. For example. Well, one obvious difference between then and now is that the Nuremberg defendants were sentenced to death, and that would never happen in a European courtroom today. But otherwise, in terms of the rights of the Nuremberg defendants, would they just simply flunk today's standards for judging war crimes?
Well, interestingly enough, even in 1945, there was a 1929 POW Geneva Convention, which the Allies decided that they had to call it set aside, call it distinguish. And they argued that the trial did not have to be conducted according to the 1929 Geneva POW Convention because there was a difference between surrender during the ongoing war and capitulation in unconditional surrender at the end. So even then, there was the felt tension.
If, in fact, the precedent of Nuremberg in that regard were to stand, could the United States have said, Saddam Hussein, we're taking you from the spider hole where we found you, and we're going to put you on trial, and we'll follow the same rules that we did in Germany half a century ago?
Well, one thing that explains Nuremberg is that Churchill wanted to shoot them. And so the argument was that, no, we can have a political and legal trial that looks pretty good and still assure the German people that Nazism is history. So I think you have to compare it to what. The problem with doing the same kind of thing now, there are different expectations. Mm-hmm. At Nuremberg, the defendants weren't allowed to put on every defense they wanted to put on. A lot of the evidence was documentary. It was not the viva voce, live voice trial that common lawyers expect. The Iraq situation is in the hands of the interim Iraqi government. They have a statute to do it. They have the problem that their number one is tens of thousands, in fact, probably millions of pages that are still untranslated. Number two, it's a very difficult environment. Nuremberg was done after the war was over. Even with the preparation time, I would not be completely surprised if in the calculations of people like Mr. Alawi, the need to get through the elections, first and foremost. And third, I think there's some sense that you might want to try out the tribunal on lower-level defendants before you went for
Saddam. Before dealing with Saddam Hussein. The interim Iraqi government has said that it does want to try Saddam Hussein expeditiously and that it's not going to wait to assemble every single piece of information. But isn't it inescapable that this is, at some level, a political event, the trial of the leader of the old regime?
Well, certainly, I think in seeing Saddam on trial, many former top-level Ba'athist leaders would see themselves as potentially sitting in the same seat. And to that degree, it's in their interest, their pernicious interest, to disrupt and prevent the trial. So again, I think the signal difference from Nuremberg is that at the moment, the insurgency is pretty robust and pretty challenging for everybody involved. Getting witnesses to come forward in an unsecure environment would be very difficult. So unless you could prove the case from documentary evidence alone, an inference from those documents, it could be a very hard time to put on the trial.
Ruth Wedgwood, thanks a lot for talking with us today.
Thank you.
Professor Wedgwood teaches law and diplomacy at the Johns Hopkins School of Advanced International Studies in Washington, D.C.